going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. You know, it's been a while since I've asked a question, so let me ask you this. Did you denim up? Did you back it in? It makes a difference. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. On a Friday, change up, back your car in. That way, when the day's over, you can pull straight out. It sounds pretty lame. It makes a difference. Denim up. Back it in. Come and get it. What's going on? We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Busy Friday. It's been a good week. It's been a really good week. And what do you know? Once today is over, we are into the week. 7 days, five shows until Smack Off 27. I keep hammering it because it's a really short Smack Off season. So you want to keep that in mind. Good show. Open phones in hour number one. Take advantage of it. Fridays are always busy, and we backload. So the first hour is the best hour for you to get through. If you know what you want to talk about, call now. This is the time to rip the golden ticket. If you've got a golden ticket, this is the time to cement that golden ticket. It's going to be tough to get through later on. And then once we get to the week thereof, it gets tougher and tougher and tougher. You got $5,000 on the table. $5,000 to the winner. But in order to win it, you have to be in it. 1-800-636-8686. All right, hit me up on social media at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E, and RomeAtHabitTake.com. Open phones in hour one. Since we've got a major golf event, I've got Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel, U.S. Open, Ettore. He's there. We'll get his thoughts. It's a big weekend betting-wise. James Kelly is on a heater. A heater. If I'm not mistaken, that gigantic dome was unbeaten last week. So he's making money. He's getting people paid. I know a lot of you want to know when and where. 10:40. 10:40 Pacific time for James Kelly. We're talking Padres baseball, one of my favorite topics. Vet, a leader, clubhouse leader, Eric Hosmer is going to join me in the last segment of the day. So, Alvy, you want to keep that in mind, right? We may have to move the week that was around to accommodate Eric Hosmer. I love it when Alvin communicates with me via bell. Ding! All right, so this is how it's setting up. The week that was, the ATP, you're running out of time. Phone lines are ringing. Adam Hawk is going to answer them. 1-800-636-8686. Let me start with last night's Bucks-Nets game. The Bucks beat the Nets by 15 in Game 6. And as the old cliche goes, we now have the two greatest words in the English language, Game 7. Even as ugly as this series has been, we do have a Game 7. Bucks fans, I've got to know, how you feeling right about now? I mean, honestly, shoot me straight. How you feeling right about now? Because I've got to think that there were times last night when you thought that it was over. Especially in the third quarter when Kevin Durant started doing Kevin Durant things all over again.
Harden out of the right, try to get a Durant, and does. Right of the lane, working against Holiday. Backing him in, knocked loose, gets it back, turns baseline, fadeaway, and it rattles home for Kevin Durant.
Nets got to back it up now on the defensive side and rebound.
Nets radio, that's the thing about Durant. Like, it's so hard, but he makes that stuff look like it's so easy, like it's nothing at all. When he pulled them back into the game in the second half, Bucks fan, admit it. You were starting to already think about the Brewers and the Packers. You were already starting to think about what this team was going to have to do to retool in the offseason. Because you've seen this movie before. In fact, you saw that movie 48 hours earlier when KD hit you for 49. And it ended in agony. And as bad as it was when KD got rolling, it was even worse when your guys fouled James Harden on a three late in the shot clock. I mean, I don't know about you. In fact, I do know about you. At that point, you had to be asking yourselves, do we have the dumbest team ever? Because we consistently do the dumbest thing ever at the worst possible times. You know, like fouling a one-legged James Harden on a three. The hell are you fouling this guy at all when he's out there on one leg? I mean, it is so dumb. Make this guy put it on the deck and make him beat you. At that point, how could you not think, here comes the dumb again. Here we go again. They do this time and time again. They're doing it right now. Their season's about to come to another catastrophic end. Except this time it didn't, because this time, instead of clutching down, they clutched up. Instead of manning down, they manned up. And when the Nets cut the lead to 5, the Bucks went on a 14-0 run. That's what you would expect from a title contender, facing elimination on their own floor, man the hell up, especially against a busted up team that was gassing out after leaving it all out there in a really emotional win the game before. Like, the last thing the Bucks wanted to do was let the Nets hang around, steal the game, and have their season end, and then send them into an extremely awkward and uncomfortable offseason that you know is going to cost people their jobs. So, credit to the Bucks. They did what they had to do. They got it done. They finished. They should have done this sooner, but they did it last night. Then you have Chris, Giannis, and PJ making damn sure that something catastrophic didn't happen yet again. Chris Middleton coming up huge. 38 points, 5 threes, 10 boards, 5 assists, 5 steals. In other words, the guy was a monster. Most productive player on the floor last night, and that's saying something. But as much as last night was about Middleton coming through time and time again, it also was about Giannis picking a good time to remember that he's Giannis and that he is a two-time MVP. And that when he attacks the rack and he's playing downhill, instead of settling for jumpers and fallaways against a one-legged beard, when he remembers that, he's nearly impossible to stop.
Green with the pump fake, missed it inside, missed the tip.
Boy, Lopez at the rim, a problem for the Nets.
Giannis! Oh, the finger roll! And the turbo kicked in, and he got all the way to the basket.
Again, I'm not sure what took him so long to remember that that's what he has to do, but luckily, he figured that out. Better late than never. Man, attack the basket. Attack the basket. Go right at them. Play downhill. Don't settle. PJ Tucker, you never have to worry about. He was getting it started on defense. And I'll get back to PJ in a second. But check out the defense to offense transition right here from the Bucks.
Giannis picks up Durant on the switch. Nice dime. Green got ripped underneath. Tough night for Jeff Green. Giannis in transition. Through the contact. Count it!
That's what I'm saying. Not just the block from Tucker. It's the Giannis took it strong to the bucket, ran right over Joe Harris, and he finished. Giannis, and he had more.
Connaughton catch and shoot three. Halfway down and out. And Antetokounmpo, oh! Flex on him, Giannis!
That's what you want to see, a dunk and then a stare down. Not kicking it out to the three-point line or stopping at the three-point line himself when the Nets throw up a wall. Again, that's the Giannis you need to see if you're a Bucks fan. That's the Giannis everybody needs to see. The two-time MVP playing strong and dominating everybody around him. It was going so well last night that Milwaukee fans started to feel so good about themselves, they busted out a Bucks in 7 chant. And then Big Bro busted out the windmill.
Chioza had it stolen away by Thanasis, who gets fouled at midcourt by Parrish. And then Thanasis does a dunk contest-style dunk on the other end after the whistle.
So, what do we have? We have ourselves a Game 7. Giannis v. KD in a Game 7 tomorrow night. Somewhere, Canadian rock legends, Loverboy, are fired up because the tape machines will be working for the weekend. You know, the tape machines. Like, if KD gets over, it's about KD dragging this busted-up Nets team. Get it, Rit. Rit loves Loverboy. The tape machine working overdrive. Like, if KD gets over, that means KD is dragging his team over the finish line. That proves that KD is better than Giannis. But if you know KD, whether he says it or not, you better make sure you don't compare him to Giannis, because you know he won't like that. Then you've got Giannis himself. If he gets over on KD on the road, those takes are going to be flying thick and fast and furious. If he buries the ghosts from the early part of the series, especially that Game 5, when he had the game in his hands and he dropped it repeatedly, That would be so big for Giannis. Enormous for him. So, Buck fans, I know you're nervous. You have to be nervous. I know you were nervous all last night until the clock hit triple zeros. Because Game 5 is the kind of game that leaves serious scar tissue. When you have a lead like that, and Kevin Durant erases it the way he did, you're never going to forget that. Because you know he can do it again. So, while I do appreciate that chant, late in the game, I know you were sweating it big time. Let me give you a bit of confidence going into tomorrow night. The confidence is not going to come from the fact that Chris Middleton had another massive game, or that Giannis has gone for a 30-point double-double in each of his last four games. No. You know where the confidence is coming from? My man, P.J. Tucker. As you know, this is an enormous P.J. Tucker house. I love what he brings to this team. On defense and in that locker room. If you do not understand why I always hype this guy, why I love this guy, check his comments last night after the game about that matchup with KD.
He's going to score, right? So how do you like deal with that?
Well, you just said it. He's going to score. So how you mean how you going to deal with this? There's nothing you can do. You can fight him as much as you want. He's gonna hit some crazy shots. He's going to score a lot of them. It's going to happen so much. I got to switch it up. I got to give him different looks. I can't guard him the same every time. I pick him up full court sometimes. Sometimes I fight over. Sometimes I try to get under. Sometimes I try to do everything I can to try to get any type of advantage to make him not score, but he's going to do it. So I don't get frustrated. It's going to happen. You got to go next play. What we can't do is get frustrated with him scoring. Now people start trying to help, and now everybody else starts scoring, and that's when it gets ugly, and that's when game one and game two happens.
Preach, my man. I wish he could bottle that stuff. I'd pay so much money for that stuff. And he was only getting started.
You're known for your talking, not trash talking, but talking a lot. But what can you say to Durant? Nothing, right? You can't say, oh, I got you on that turnover or anything. You just let it go,
right?
We
actually talk about that all the time. Like the one I thought he walked. I was like, did you walk? I was like, I got you to walk. He was like, nah, I stepped through. I said, yeah, but your left foot moved. Like we're having real conversations. People see us fight, but they don't know if we like talk about like regular stuff too. He's like, stop fighting with Blake. You're going to get thrown out and then we can't play. I'm like, yeah, you're right. My bad.
That's actually pretty cool. Durant telling PJ to stop fighting with Blake Griffin because, quote, you're going to get thrown out and then you can't play. Pretty damn cool, because most guys in that situation want PJ to get tossed because he makes things difficult on the player. But Durant doesn't want that because he loves the battle with PJ as much as PJ loves that battle with Durant. I could play PJ's entire media availability because it was that good, but let me leave you with one final thing from him.
It's the playoffs, man. Like, I don't know what people think. Like, we dream about this our whole lives. Like, I dream about being in the playoffs, guarding the best player in the world. Like, that's like, this is what, like, we, like, I'll die out there. Like, I'm living my dream. I'm not backing down from nothing. I'm fighting for every inch. Like, I don't understand. Everybody's like, oh, like, all this little stuff. Like, me and Kevin fight every year. Like, I've guarded him every year in the playoffs. Go to state, Oklahoma City, it doesn't matter. Every regular season, playoffs, I love guarding him. I enjoy it. He's the best scorer I've ever seen in my life. I told Rick Barnes, on his visit when he's a junior in high school, he's going to be the best player I've ever seen in my life. He killed us. Like, I knew this. He's an 11th grader. Like, this is like, I don't understand people. Like, that's my brother. We compete. We fight every game. We're going to fight again game 7. That is a part of it. So it's all the other stuff is just stuff.
My man, all this other stuff is just stuff. It's like nobody understands. Nobody gets it. Everybody's trying to get into this guy about, man, you hate that guy, don't you? What's it like to go up against that guy? And he's like, what's it like to go up against that guy? It's the best thing ever. This is what I'm here for. This is what I've worked my entire life for. This is what I've been dreaming about my entire life. I'm exactly where I want to be. In the playoffs, in a game 7, going up against the best in the world. A guy that I knew was going to be the best in the world when I saw him in 11th grade. What are y'all doing out here, man? This is the best. This is what I mean when I wish I could play his entire media availability. This is why I love PJ Tucker and love getting him on the show and have not been able to do it nearly enough. I love this guy. Quote, I'll die out there. I'm living my dream. I'm not backing down from nothing. I'm fighting for every inch. Game 7, tomorrow night. Man, let's do this. I love PJ. Oh, and back to Chris Middleton. I have not seen a Middleton that ruthless since, well, okay, how about this? That notable caller, Jeff in Middleton. Does that name ring a bell? Remember when that dude came out of nowhere and dropped this on this show?
I'm HIV, bruh, and you Irv. I'll end your career, homie. That's who you dealing with now, lamb chop.
You believe that? I'm HIV, bruh, and you're Irv. And all in your career, homie, that's what you're dealing with, lamb chop?
I'm HIV, bruh, and you Irv. I'll end your career, homie. That's who you're dealing with now, lamb chop.
The guy literally, that was directed at Mike and Indy. Avi, is there a date on that? That was as recent as 2017. This guy called a nationally syndicated radio program and said, I'm HIV, brah, and you're Irv. Possibly the worst take ever. And then him tagging it with a lamb chop blast. Holy bleep. I don't know. Kind of a sad state of affairs that when I think of Chris Middleton, the first thing that comes to my mind is Jeff from Middleton. But then again, how do you ever forget a line like that?
Lamb I know I won't.
Lamb chop. Hey, reaction. Lamb. Thumbs lamb up or thumbs chop. Down? Kind of like lamb. Hey, Alvin, does that mean we're working for the weekend? You got to get me out? Alvin's like, nah, dude, you don't have to get... Check that. Nah, dude, you don't have to get out. I'm just playing some Loverboy. Loverboy sucks, man. How about the tubes? All right, so in addition to all this, I know I was on my Peloton yesterday. And I was doing my work, and then I flipped on some music. Saw Rise Against has got a new album out. Kind of cool. In addition to all of this, Big Head Betts coming up next hour. The Big Head has been just murdering the association. And I was skeptical. Coming off the year he had in the NFL, I'm like, there's no way this guy can keep this up. But he is. He is. So the Big Head's coming up at 10:40. Here, if you're curious and you want to peek ahead, here's what we're getting into. Hawks v. Sixers. Hawk v. Ritt. No, just kidding. Hawks v. Sixers. Clippers v. Jazz. There will be an NHL game to bet. We're talking golf. And then, you know, at the Big Head, you never know what he might do off the board. Speaking of off the board, it's a Friday. I like to have a little fun on Friday. I've got the creative license to do pretty much whatever the hell I want at this point. I mean, I'm in the Radio Hall of Fame. What are they going to do? Take me out? I think I want to talk about the space race. Super rich guys trying to get into space first. And the guy who's got the lead right now is on a hog rocket. Stay with me. Got an update on the Green Bay Packers, and it's not very good. For them, anyway. 1-800-636-8686. Rex Hoggard next hour. James Kelly next hour. Eric Hosmer coming up in hour number 3. And I'm looking for a phone call, man. I would so like to give away a golden ticket. The only thing I would like better than to give away a golden ticket today is to take away a golden ticket today. Speaking of which, the player profile is about the golden ticket recipients. All that ahead. So, quick question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky the greatest beef jerky ever? Well, let me start right here. There is something to be said for a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Now, I'm not just talking out my backside. I know this family. I've engaged with this family. I know what they're about. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. Choose it. Because you can actually see the quality that you're getting right through their iconic Clearview packages. That's why they make it like that, so you can see exactly what you're buying. And then bite into Old Trapper. every single bite is tender, never tough, because they use only the best ingredients from their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in four amazing mouth-watering flavors. They're all incredible. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag or load it up with an 18-ounce bag where there's enough for the entire fam or team. If you do not see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper clones? Exactly what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I'm here to celebrate, not hate. Yeah, I'm here to celebrate, not hate. But I'll tell you what I hate. I hate a lazy, feet up, mail it in on a Friday. Finish strong. Finish strong. Go hard into the weekend. And what I mean by that is step your game up, man. Come into the program. Step your game up. Make it better. Friday is an ATP day, so in hour number three sometime, you're going to have a chance to ask the pros a question. I am the pro. Submit the question to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and listen later on. I'm going to answer one or more. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, think about that too. Have fun with the ATP. You can ask me anything you want. In fact, long ago, you stopped asking me sports questions. So ask me anything you want, and I will have that for you later on. I mentioned the golden ticket class of 2021. That's the player profile. It's not a player profile. It's a player's profile. It's a class profile. The golden ticket player profile coming up a little bit later on.
Players.
Players. Plural. It's going to be interesting. Let's see. Hey, Jim. I also don't like battling with PJs. That's why I used to tell Macaulay to just take them off. Signed, Wacko Jacko. Mike in Mall City. Hey, Mike. The time for that is never. That's just not funny to me. God. The sensibilities on this program. Like, have you ever heard me roll out? All right, guilty. There was an adult alarm back in the day. I'm not saying that that did not exist. The one thing... That's a taste. The one thing about the program, if you know anything about me, you know that the basic premise and the principle of this show is accountability and responsibility for everybody and everything, myself included. I'm not saying that I didn't do that. I'm saying I stopped doing that a long time ago. That's extremely inappropriate right now. And if I'm being really honest, probably a little bit inappropriate back then. But that's why I retired it. Because I admitted that it was wrong. I should not have had an adult alarm from Michael Jackson, which triggered when adults broke the perimeter. I own that. It was not in good form. So I retired it. But don't be coming in here in 2021. Bad enough that my kids found their way to it somehow, some way, and had me explain it to them.
Get your underoos on and get the...
That. Logan's like, oh my God, Dad, that adult alarm? I'm like, yeah, anyway, son. He's like, no. Like, Dad, what was that about, Pops? And then you can't not own it. So I had to explain it to him. Anyway, it's 2021. Like, we don't do things like that anymore. Sorry. The phrase, get your underwear on, not appropriate. Underoos. Anyway, stop bringing that up, because I don't. Rome Slice. That Avoid song kicks so much ass. Regards, the dude at the stoplight blaring Christian rock with the windows down. Geoff and Lincoln. War Alvey bumping back from commercial with Hip to Be Square.
It's hip to be square. It's hip to be square.
Like, you're all over the line, and not in a good way. Like, it's not clever, it's not smart. What, now you have a problem with Christian rock? Not me. I don't have a problem with Christian rock, and I don't have a problem with Avoid. I got a problem with Huey Lewis, and it's not personal. I just happen to think that his music sucks. Hey, Van Smack. A week out from the Smack Off, and I'm getting hyped. And when I get hyped, I take my shirt off. Thanks.
Hey, I like to get hyped for games. When I get hyped, I take my shirt off.
Okay, so that's not only allowable, but that's awesome. A timeless drop. That will never not be awesome. That will always be applicable. There will never be a time where the world changes so dramatically that that's not permissible. The day that that's not permissible is the day I walk the hell out of here. The day you tell me that I can't play that is the day that I quit right on the spot. Times change. Things that were appropriate then are no longer appropriate right now. I get this. I understand. We're learning. We're evolving. We're moving. We're getting better. We're listening to each other. We're more understandable. The world's a better place. It's a better place for it. However, if there ever comes a time and place when I'm not allowed to do that, and somebody calls me to the mat for that, or somebody says, you know what, you're suspended for that, I'll quit right on the spot. That is timeless. I guarantee it. This Alvy will be good today, tomorrow, and 50 years from now. Put that thing in a time capsule. This will always rule.
Hey, I like to get hyped for games. When I get hyped, I take my shirt off. I take it off. I feel out.
If that's wrong, I don't want to be right. If there's no place for that in the world, I don't want to be in this world. Mark. In parts That's unknown, right. Sent that along. Let's see. I'm looking at my call screen. Not really happy about what I see. No offense if you're on the call screen. Justin in Melbourne. No names mentioned. Listen, if you can make the show better, I'm going to put you up. Oh, Tim Legler was episode 178 of the Jim Rome podcast. I think that kind of got lost yesterday and how awesome he was. If you're looking for something to do over the weekend, definitely mix that in. It's good. Rex Hoggard, top of the hour. Big Head Betts coming up at 10:40. We're on the NBA. We're on the NHL. We're on the U.S. Open. Eric Hosmer. It's going to be good to get caught up with him. That's coming up at 11:40.
Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Bumping back with another Smack Off prediction, Tyler in Oshkosh. There you go. Calling your shots. All right, so it's Friday, and I hit the NBA hard off the top. I'm going to hit some golf hard off the top of next hour. I've got the Big Head Betts coming up in hour number two. So I guess what I'm kind of getting at is I want to set this up, have a little bit of fun. Normally, I don't have this kind of fun this early in the program, but we have to get our Smack Off player preview in, which is the golden ticket class. Got a lot of business to tend to. And so I saw something this week that I thought was kind of out there. Like the last year and a half have been especially hard for the working class everywhere, here, abroad, everywhere. Has not been so hard, however, for the billionaire class, especially the international billionaire class. So maybe you're paying attention to this and maybe you're not, but three of the richest dudes on the globe are currently having their very own little version of a space race. You all remember the space race. The Cold War, remember when the U.S. and the Soviet Union launched orbiting satellites into the sky, trying to plant their flag on the moon first? Remember all that? Sputnik et al. Back then, it was countries going head-to-head. Now it is super billionaires duking it out. Namely, Richard Branson, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. All three of which are racing to make space tourism a thing. Almost everybody knows that Musk is completely into this extravagant hobby, this side hustle. And at this point, you can set your watch to a bi-weekly news report that he crashed another rocket over some remote part of Texas that he moved to and renamed Starbase. Now, that sounds like something I made up. It's not. He packed up his Tesla and his SpaceX operations last year and moved them to Boca Chica, Texas. He promptly renamed the entire town Starbase. My man's just all up in here running around renaming towns. And before you kill this guy for the name of that town, at least he didn't choose XAEA12. No, he saved that barcode-inspired handle for his newborn son. Anyway, Musk has been the face of this new billionaire obsession to get private companies into space for quite some time now. And from what I'm seeing, the end goal here is to eventually start flying, paying customers around in rocket ships, and charging lots of money to do so. Let's not forget, Elon is trying to put people on Mars, which sounds a little unsettling, considering this guy couldn't even figure out how to rock-proof the alleged bulletproof window on his stupid little Tesla truck.
Oh, my God. Well, maybe that was a little too hard.
So you couldn't rock-proof glass, but we're going to trust you to send people to Mars. Oh, okay. So Musk has got competition, though, and thank goodness he does, right? What if that were our only choice? No, there is competition in the space tourism genre, namely Jeff Bezos of Amazon and Richard Branson of the Virgin Group. Do you know how rich you have to be when there's not a yacht big enough, or a sports car fast enough, or a private jet lavish enough, or a stable of thoroughbred racehorses expensive enough to satisfy your earthly rich guy desires? You see what I'm saying? These three billionaires are literally telling you they've conquered Earth. There's nothing left here to do. There's nothing left on the ground that's interesting enough for them. There's nothing on the ground that gives them enough juice. They're taking their game to space. I mean, listen carefully. There's bleep you money, bleep you money, and then there's bleep the planet money. And these guys have bleep the planet money. And they're all spending that money as fast as they possibly can to win the race, to get to space first. And guess who's scheduled to win the New Age space race? Who do you think has got the lead? Who's on the front? Not Musk. Not Branson. Nope. It's Mr. $36 billion divorce settlement guy, Jeff Bezos. When your divorce makes your non-working ex-wife the seventh richest person in the world and still keeps you in the two-hole, you got bleep the planet and bleep the entire galaxy money. According to reports, old Jeffers is going to launch a rocket next month into space, and he's even going to be on board when it happens. Man, you want to talk about trusting your own product. You want to talk about having skin in the game. How about strapping your ass to a rocket ship that's got your name on it? No wonder Elon Musk is not going to be the first to do this. He knows he'd have no shot. He knows he'd probably kill himself. Because if there's anything Elon Musk loves, it's promising to build underground tunnels and then never doing it and naming his kids after default Wi-Fi passwords and crashing rocket ships. And by the way, does anybody ever accept those suggested default Wi-Fi passwords? Somebody must, right? Or they wouldn't suggest them. I've never done that. Yeah, because I'm going to remember capital A, lowercase u, 346, hashtag, exclamation point, lamb chop. Anyway, yesterday, Bezos unveils his spaceship for the world to see. And the national morning news in Australia could not keep it together. Not because they were amazed, not because they were blown away by the technology, not because they got emotional at the achievement and what it means for civilian space travel. Nope. They were blown away because his rocket ship looked like, how do I put this? A giant 300-foot-long penis. I understand that this is not a visual medium, but their reaction will tell you everything you need to know about what was going through their head when they saw that rocket ship.
Rockets everywhere this morning while outdoing his fellow billionaires in the race to space. Amazon boss Jeff Bezos will blast into orbit next month.
Does that look a little odd to you? It's just me. Joining us now for more is US correspondent Alison Petrowski. Ali, the Bezos flight will officially kick off the company's space tourism business.
Yes, that's right, Carl. Good morning to you, Carl. Good morning to you, Ali. Launch of the interesting shaped rocket, thanks for pointing that out, Carl, will happen on July 20 out of remote West Texas next month.
Way to hold it together, journos. I guess they brought back Beeb and Butthead for some morning show in Australia. Quote, does that look a little odd to you or is it just me?
Does that look a little odd to you? It's just me.
Quote, launch of the interesting shaped rocket will happen next month.
Launch of the interesting shaped rocket, thanks for pointing that out, Carl, will happen on July 20 out of remote.
I don't know.
West
given
Texas
this guy's commitment
month.
And this guy's passion and the amount of money and time he has spent on this, I'm not exactly sure that's how you want a reveal of this magnitude to go down. The world is laughing at Bezos because he just pulled the tablecloth off a 300-foot hog rocket. Now, I am no space engineer. Maybe that thing needs to look like the world's most gigantic penis in order to work properly. Maybe there's something aerodynamic about that. I don't know. I mean, I'm being responsible. Notice I'm not... Regardless, when you unveil something like that, I don't think that the response that you're looking for is uncontrollable laughing. Then again, you are about to climb into a phallic object the length of a football field. Who designed that thing? Greg Norman? I don't know. There's a reason why this guy's the richest guy in the world, because he's one of the smartest guys in the world, and maybe he wanted it that way. You can't put it past the second richest guy in the world to want to win the space race in a giant rocket dong. Maybe there's some symbolism there. And it's a whole lot more aerodynamic than a middle finger. Anyway, let's just hope that this thing launches and lands safely and successfully, because I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody on the SS 300-foot penis. Here's to Elon Musk looking up at the sky next month and seeing a 300-foot hog piloted by his arch rival flying above his head. As Elon just can't even get off the ground. Can't even drive a car without a window getting shattered. Here's to Elon picking up a rock and throwing it right through the bulletproof window of his Tesla truck.
Oh my God.
Or better, yeah, well, you know what he's going to do.
Maybe that was a little too hard.
Yeah, or maybe it was just a little too poorly constructed. You know what this guy's going to do? He's going to show up at the launch of Bezos' gigantic rocket penis and start throwing rocks at that thing. Anyway, super rich and too much time on your hands, dudes. Knock yourselves out. Personally, this is just me personally, I have zero interest in going to space. I like it just fine down here. Maybe I'm a sorry sack. Maybe I'm not a risk taker. But right about now, to me, I consider northern Wisconsin the great frontier. I'm just trying to get there. Knock yourselves out, super rich dudes. Bleep the galaxy money.
Launch of the interesting shaped rocket. Thanks for pointing that out, Carl.
12-wood. All of a sudden, 12-wood's back out of nowhere. Quote, there is bleep you money, and there is bleep the planet money, and then there is bleep the wallet money. Signed, rubber band money clip guy. Why is that a controversy? Why is that a thing? Wallet guy versus rubber band guy. I am rubber band guy. I do not own a wallet. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm saying it's a better way to carry money. Squirrel 2 says, I hope Bezos has his lawyers on speed dial because I'm the rocket man. Yours, Sir Elton John. That's a real thing, by the way. Music, licensing fees, what you can use, what you can't use, trademarks, handles, gloss. Sir Elton is the rocket man.
He glossed me!
All right, when we come back, Rex Hager joins me from Torrey Pines. Let's get an update on how that track is playing and how things are going at the U.S. Open. Rex Hager is next. James Kelly coming up next hour. Stay tuned.